Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Talk Epilepsy podcast, brought to you by Epilepsy Scotland. Epilepsy Scotland recently commissioned research from the Scottish Centre for Employment Research at Strathclyde University. Although attitudes have improved, the research found employers still have a poor awareness of epilepsy and often have misconceptions around the abilities of people with epilepsy in the workplace. Following this research, we have developed an employment campaign which aims to increase awareness of epilepsy in the workplace and engage employers with information to better support people with epilepsy. In this episode of the Talk Epilepsy podcast, I talk to Ross Bennett, a former detective superintendent with Police Scotland, and Michael Sturrock, who works in politics as head of communications and outreach. We talked about their experiences of living and managing their epilepsy, support received from their employers, and what employers need to do to support people with epilepsy. First, I talked to Ross and asked when he got diagnosed with epilepsy.
My first known seizure was the night Lady Diana died, and I woke up in the Queen Margaret Hospital in Dunfermline with my wife, my mother, and my father next to me. And my earliest recollection is being asked questions like, do I know who I am? Do I know my name, my date of birth? And when I was aware of who I was, etc., it was a silly question to me to answer that. But apparently I hadn't been able to answer it for almost 3 hours on arrival at the hospital. So that was my first known seizure, and that was the end of August 1997, the exact same night Lady Diana died. So it's quite a kind of time to remember. That's how I can snapshot it.
How did you feel when you got diagnosed with epilepsy?
I wasn't diagnosed straight away. What actually happened was I did get some tests very quickly, and I made a little deal with God or whoever takes care of me, that if I didn't have a tumour, I was 26 years old at the time, a diabetic kind of seizure was quickly ruled out, if I could say in that regard. And I had some very quick tests. Medical services were brilliant. And a long story short is my electrical activity is not what it should be, but I know that a lot of other people's might not be what it should be, and they might never have a seizure, and other people's might be perfect and they might have seizures. However, I was not diagnosed as having epilepsy until I had a second seizure, which was about a month later. And at that point, there, for want of a better description, there was no going back. And that was my life on a certain path that it's continued to date. And I would have to say, and again, please forgive the term if it's not great, but I see myself as having what I call lucky epilepsy. It only happens when I'm sleeping. I have never had a seizure when I'm awake. And I was married at the time, still married to the same person. I don't sleep or moan. Yes, I've fallen asleep on the sofa watching a boring game of football or something like that, and it's happened. But when I have a seizure, I'm in a nice comfy bed or armchair, and the risk of me harming myself is not what it would otherwise be, and I count my blessings for that because I know I'm lucky. Some people might not see it that way and don't understand how I see myself that way, but I know I'm lucky. So it was back towards the end of 1997, I was diagnosed, placed on medication, and life changed, for want of a better description.
What is your sort of career, and did your epilepsy sort of affect your career?
It did. It could have been worse, but at that point, I'm now retired, but I was a police officer, and I was a detective constable The rank structures, constable, sergeant, inspector, chief inspector and superintendent. And it's not quite what you see in the television where there's a sergeant for every cop and an inspector in every office. It doesn't work like that. You know, an inspector will run a whole area the size of Fife, Central Scotland, at any given time. That's the way the rank structure works. So straight away I couldn't drive, obviously. I didn't know what the chances of myself having a seizure during the day were to begin with. That's only become apparent over the years. So I was removed from frontline detective duties and placed into office, more office-based, but needed, not a job that was created, needed. It was just a different type of job. And it was a career change for me that actually worked out. I'm not saying for the better, for the worse, but just worked out for me. My father was a police officer and still serving at that time, so that kind of helped. And what also helped was I had a lot of really good managers. The police has its critics, rightly so at times, wrong with others, I suppose. But I had a couple of managers who had family that have the condition, and they got what epilepsy was. They got the impact it would have on someone. They treated me as though I was a member of their own family and looked after me, wrapped me, I suppose, in cotton wool a bit, gave me a bit of rope when I needed that bit of rope to go and do what I needed to do. And just treated me like Ross Bennett. That doesn't sound much, but is a lot when you're first diagnosed. I suppose you'll come back to that, but it is life changing. You worry about a lot of things you wouldn't have worried about before. But in terms of my career, to begin with, I wasn't sure I would be able to do anything in my career. Would I drive again? Would I, if I had a seizure whilst awake, what would that mean, etc. And as time went on, I became more confident. This is all happening when I'm sleeping, because the seizures have continued. Some are worse than others. And I suppose it's a balance of medicating the seizures so they stop completely. But then there's a consequence of having so much medication all the time. It's challenging to function the way you would want to function. And just getting on with life. I've always been a positive kind of guy, sporty in a way, and very proactive. So after a couple of years, I tackled epilepsy and the changes in life head on. I sought further education and time. I sought promotion. I saw myself as just epilepsy is part of who I am. It wasn't what I am. And that's a big thing for me. It's just part of who I am. It comes with the package. And I was lucky enough to get promoted, and with promotion comes responsibility and a bit of power. I hate that word, but responsibility. And with that, I was able to assist other people with varying medical conditions and recruit people into the police service as police staff that maybe wouldn't otherwise have been able to get any work. Via supported employment and these kind of facilitated schemes. So my career progressed, and come the time of Police Scotland, I was still in the CID. When I couldn't drive, I would be moved to a more local station and public transport, etc. And then when I could drive, I would be in the CID, and come the end of police, but the end of my service as a police officer within Police Scotland, I should say, I retired a detective superintendent with a national portfolio. I covered on call for the south of Scotland, which is an area, although I live in Fife, it doesn't cover Fife I covered central Scotland, Lothians, Edinburgh, the borders, across to the south side area of Glasgow, a massive population for the most serious of crimes such as murder, rape, etc. So when something like that happened, the initial investigating, senior investigating officer would be contacted. They would be doing what they're doing. Then I was their manager and would make sure they're doing their job right. Now, I was entrusted with that, having nocturnal epilepsy, yet I was still entrusted to do that. So I suppose my point is that I was still having seizures occasionally, but that was not a barrier to achieving what I wanted to achieve, provided I was open, honest, and mindful of the consequences of my having a seizure in terms of the impact it would have on others. So, for example, how was that mitigated? If I was having a period where it wasn't going as well, I wouldn't do on call, or if I was getting better, there would be someone shadow me, someone learning how to deal with these things. Not quite as experienced, but they would shadow me. If I couldn't drive, the two instances, one I was placed into human resources as a senior officer there because I could make a difference, having had epilepsy, having understood what the consequences were. I could make a difference for a procedures or policies for a recruitment, and I made every effort to do that. Also, I was the senior officer for a number of stations, and then engaging with the public because those were local to me, and it was easier for transport. But there were other things that I never risked, such as going on week-long courses regularly where I would sleep on my own. I was not keen on going abroad, as my role could have provided and sometimes necessitated for, and sleeping on my own. I didn't want to do that. I didn't see it as necessary, and I always found a way not to do it, whether it be conferencing like this or just not going on that course, etc. So there's checks and balances, but I was a police officer, and I think I had a quite a fruitful career, and a career where I was allowed to speak in the Scottish Parliament, the House of Lords, to advocate epilepsy, occupational health, and the like. And I hope I did my best to do that for the benefit of the not the just the police service, but the wider population.
Do you feel like you have faced barriers or limitations in your career because of your epilepsy?
Yeah, that would be fair. And because of what I had, I was able to see it in others. Epilepsy, and I can only speak personally here, does cause at times crisis in confidence, for want of a better description. Not as in have I made the right decision here, because I knew I would. But before taking a leap to do something, before doing the next job, before taking the next role on, am I capable of doing that? Will my epilepsy allow me to do that? Will that role allow me to have enough sleep? Will that role allow me to not be stressed? Will that role allow me to function with the medication, etc., etc.? So in that regard, every time there was a limitation until I was absolutely sure I was at a ceiling where I thought, right, yeah, I can do the next part now, no problem. When other people, everyone around me was saying, you can do that standing on your head. Now that's fine, other people saying it, but you have to convince yourself. Yeah. And other aspects, I this is maybe just an internal thing and totally wrong. I really disliked long driving in the darkness. I just did not like the lights, the headlights coming towards you, and when you know some of the distances are to drive were quite long, and I could drive no problem because it's nocturnal, and the driving regulations etc. But it was tiring. Now tiring makes you more susceptible, or makes me more susceptible to a seizure. That's one of my triggers, and I just didn't like it. So I self limited there because the family are very settled in an area in Scotland, and I was offered jobs elsewhere in Scotland where we would move, but technically I would have driven to every day, but we just that wasn't happening. So in that regard there was a limitation, I suppose, but that was imposed by myself on myself. No one said you can't do it, you were offered. The kind of limitations in the police, for example, are I wouldn't be given a firearms responsibility, and I would totally understand that. I would totally understand that. I couldn't drive a police vehicle at speed, although I'd been trained to when I was younger. I couldn't drive, you know, exceeding the speed limit because of the challenges to my driving and insurance, etc. So whether that was right or wrong, you know, safe to drive on a road, but I accepted that. But in terms of the limitations, there were more that were placed upon me by myself than by my organisation. The challenging time, if I can go back to it, was probably the first couple of years where we didn't know what the epilepsy would, the pattern of seizure would be. Just because it had two during the night to begin with, didn't mean to say at that point it was only going to be ever nocturnal seizures. They could spread to during the day, would be during the day only, or during the day and at night. And even now, I've yet to meet anyone else that just has them when they're sleeping. I know it's a thing, but if the many people I've spoken to, I can't recall having met anyone that's been as lucky as me where it all happens when they're sleeping, and long may it continue for myself anyway. So that was the barriers. It did help that I had managers around me that got what epilepsy was about, knew me, knew my capabilities, knew my shortcomings, I suppose, as well, because we all have them, and I certainly do, and just catered for me. It's about, David, it's about treating people, not just the way you were treated, but it's about treating people as a heartbeat, not a head count. That's number one, heartbeat, not a head count. And number two is treat everyone the way you want your own family treated. So I've given you an example how it impacted on my family. It's how I would want them treated, not necessarily myself. I can handle, you know, a rough time, but I wouldn't really like it on my family, if that makes sense. So that's how it impacted on myself. But on the positive, in Fife, especially when I was moved, and again through driving, etc., at times to our human resources, and this is where, on one occasion certainly, because I could do it many times, I'd like to give Epilepsy Scotland so much praise and credit. Just they're fantastic. In the mid sort of noughties, they had Employer of the Year awards for below 50 employees and above 50 employees. Now, it took three attempts. I think we were highly commended at one point for the first one, something like that. The second, we were either runner-up or third. And then at the third attempt, based on the feedback we got and continually trying to improve, we won this award. And I'm sure it was 2005. And to be the Epilepsy Scotland Employer of the Year for people with epilepsy. Now that was both internal and external, and by that point we'd recruited or were just about to recruit someone that had epilepsy as a child as well. You know, this wasn't just a gimmick. Sorry, that's my dog in the background there. This wasn't a gimmick. This was serious stuff. Epilepsy should not be a barrier to living your life, to giving your all, to any occupation other than the police armed forces, which I understand, but should not. It certainly should not be a barrier to joining the police. That for me is an absolute. Provided the seizures are controlled, you're not putting yourself or others in a position of vulnerability and such like. And later in Police Scotland, I was involved in a DACA, it's called Disability and Carers Association, which again looks after staff with a disability. It's a word I'm not overly comfortable with a condition, and who care for others with a condition. And our chief constable, and he's still the chief constable, Mr. Ian Livingston, again, a gentleman that I can't praise highly enough, was fully behind this. And it gives me great pride to say that he really buys into and gets, appreciates, supports, embraces, medical conditions, trying to overcome them, trying to support his staff, and I know he works with Epilepsy Scotland, but that was a very proud moment for me when the Disability and Carers Association was set up within Police Scotland for its staff. And I'd be pleased to remember that the police service is really about policing by consent, and you can really only police by consent if you understand what the public that you're policing, how they, what their needs are, what their vulnerabilities are, how they feel, think. And if you have members of staff with a medical condition, the same medical conditions that the public have, with their concerns, with their anxieties, everything that you're asking about here, David, then you should be a better police service, a better individual police officer, a better, make up to better service. And that, so it makes sense to have members of your work establishment that have these conditions, including epilepsy. Not just epilepsy, but certainly including epilepsy.
What type of support did you receive from your employers? Did you sort of have like reasonable adjustments throughout your career?
Yeah, I had quite a lot, and just as we moved through the years and technology changed, for example, to begin with, I had because we didn't know what triggered my seizures. For example, did flashing lights and such like. I had a reflector, if I can call it that, screen across my computer. I was given a lot of lifts from work by colleagues just off their own back. I wasn't eating into the public's time, just my colleagues doing it, going out of their way slightly on their way to work to collect me. If I'd had a seizure, there was no expectation of me to be at work at that time. If I needed the day off, take the day off. If I just wanted to go in a bit later, go in a bit later, because I liked being busy. Still got tongue tied because I've bitten it that much. Some seizures are worse than others, and others are easier to recover from. In one regard, the last time I had a seizure that was, my wife was really panicking over, it was about 2 years ago, and I've been quite lucky. But then you'll have others that are just maybe a couple of minutes long or whatever. So if I'd had one that was the way I'm describing a couple of years ago, I would be out of the game for days. Probably days is the best way to describe it. in terms of being able to properly function. You it takes you a while to wake up. You're a mess, and I'm you may have wet the bed, and I'm being upfront. You will settle a bit in your tongue. There may or may not be blood absolutely everywhere. Your head will be just the best way to describe it is as though you've got the flu. If you have ever been hungover like that, and it's just pounding so badly, it's hard to describe. Coupled with brain fog, coupled with your whole body feeling as though it's been to the gym for, I don't know, for the hardest workout ever, and you're feeling a bit groggy. You're just you're trying to say something, it's not coming out your mouth properly, etc., etc. To other types of seizures where you know you've had one, your wife's telling you've had one, she's waking you up, and everything that comes with coming out a seizure, but you're actually within half hour, hour, you're on it again, slight sore head, but you're fine. You don't want to drive that day or anything like that, please don't get me wrong, but you're not you want to sit about all day, if that makes sense. I like to get on and move. And with having seizures when you're sleeping, if that's all you ever have after a period of 3 years, I'm pretty sure it is still, then you can drive. Now that's the lot, but I would put a word of caution on that. You should only do that if you feel safe to do so. Does
Yeah.
that make sense? Yes. So just because the law says, oh, that's okay, you can do it. No, I would say the public safety comes first. So it's a bit like that, but a lot of the support I had was through these managers who knew what having epilepsy was like, who knew what the impact would be on me, but who knew me before I had the condition, and I really wanted to support me. And I will forever, ever be grateful to those people. And as time went on to, when I couldn't drive, to having roles that were meaningful, always meaningful, to the point where I was actually able to make a difference in our recruitment policies with people that had a medical condition, whether that be dyslexia, diabetes, anything like that. We became so much more mature round about that same time that Epilepsy Scotland had their Employer of the Year award. It had such a wider impact, positive impact than just epilepsy. So a whole range of things I was given support for. And would have happened everywhere. I don't know. I can only speak for my own circumstances. But it made me a better police officer, I think, and it made me more understanding of others who had a similar challenge, or their family had a similar circumstances in some way or another. And what I can say is that you had a lot of loyalty from people that were given assistance. They worked the very best, and I work for myself now, but I'm no one's boss or anything like that. But if I was, one of the first areas, the talent pools I would look to would be people that have a medical condition and want to aren't working and want to work. Because everyone was so loyal and so dedicated to their occupation, it was actually humbling.
What advice would you give to anyone with epilepsy who are worried about their career prospects?
Great question. Know yourself is the best advice I can give. And if you are really wanting to go for something, go for it, because you have one shot at life. Okay, one shot at life. It took me a couple of years to know what I wanted as a detective constable, and then I went for it, and I went for it a few more times. Each time I was happy and knew what I was wanting. And I didn't get it every time. Sometimes I got told, no, you've not been successful, or you have, but people have been more successful than you, so they're getting the jobs first. And then, you know, structural changes, etc. But to retire a superintendent, if I put it another way, as I say, you know, a superintendent, a detective superintendent would be in charge of, say, Edinburgh. That's for the CID, you know, that's so now. Was I better than anyone else? No. Was it the same? Was I as good as anyone else? Yes. But the epilepsy would have prevented that had I let it. If I just said, so I'm this guy with epilepsy, just, you know, do what you want. Stand up for yourself, stand up for your rights, for want of a better description. Know your occupational health, get to know your occupational health. It's your own decision if you want to save epilepsy on an application form or not. But always, for me, a lot of it is about, and it's personal, about focusing on the positives as well as the negatives. Having good references in whatever you've done, recording what you've done, so you've a good reference to say what you have done, even though you've got this condition. And I'm saying even very, very in a disdainful manner, because I hate saying that. Says I'm achieving this because of I'm Ross Bennett. I'm not achieving it because I've got epilepsy, or I'm not achieving something due to the epilepsy. But people are scared of epilepsy. There is a social stigma to epilepsy. Will that go away in the next generation? It'll improve. It won't, in my view, disappear. Because with all mental health illnesses, it's a fear of the unknown, I suppose. But the biggest advice I can give is, if you want to do something, you're good enough. Try and do it. And just evidence around you why you're good enough. Evidence of support as to, you know, who else has seen something in you that would support you for going for a particular job, and then go for it. And as I say, went from constable, sergeant, inspector, chief inspector, up to superintendent, national projects, national, you know, roles, being on the telly, all that stuff, with epilepsy as part of who I am, not what I am. But all that time, I never hid from epilepsy. I was very upfront. I raised a lot of money, I would say. And by that regard, I had to be upfront with, you know, with my connections with Epilepsy Scotland and why I was connected with Epilepsy Scotland. So it was it was always there. So yeah, you've one shot at this at life. It's not a dress rehearsal. If you want to do something, I think other than armed forces, you've every right to be applying. So you do what's right for you, and the onus is on the employer to say why excuse me, they think, well, there's another candidate better than you. And there might be another candidate better than you. It's happened, as I say, it happened to me you know, a few times. But on the other hand, you might be the best candidate, but you won't know if you've not applied. You know, but you do have to balance it up with, do you want to travel too far? What if you can't drive? All these things. So the other thing I would say is, make sure you're happy with life and the implications of taking on something that's too big for your management of your condition. because that's why, as I said earlier, I always, people around me would say, you can do that, no bother. But well, maybe I could, but maybe part of me couldn't, if that makes sense. And I had a family to consider if I could drive again, when I was driving, and if I got stressed or couldn't sleep, that would possibly make my epilepsy worse. And the implication could be I maybe wouldn't drive, and my family would be impacted there. And that aspect was not an acceptable risk in my own mind, because my family always came first. And the interesting wee part, the funny out that is, I always promised my wife a horse when I retired. If I got that far, and I did, obviously. So retired. She got her horse, and I'm busier with this horse looking after it in the days when she's at her work than I probably was when I was working, you know.
Next, I talked to Michael about how his epilepsy affected his life and lifestyle, how his colleagues reacted when they found out about his diagnosis. But first, I asked how he felt when he got diagnosed with epilepsy.
It was interesting because epilepsy was something that was just completely off my radar. And when we talked about, or when I'd had my seizures, first of all, they talked about how it was quite common in adolescent boys in particular to have seizures, even though they're not necessarily they don't necessarily have epilepsy. So for a while, it wasn't, first of all, clear that I did have epilepsy. And then when we sort of discussed and it became likelihood, and again, the sort of because I was sort of on the boundaries, as it were, of the diagnosis of epilepsy, it still wasn't really clear that I had epilepsy for a little while, probably after my second seizure. So how did I feel? Because, as I say, because it had been going on for a while, I was kind of eased into it gently, as it were, and I felt quite supported. And I'd been to see a neurologist quite a few times before I'd been officially diagnosed with epilepsy. And then, as you know, the neurology teams across Scotland and in hospitals are quite incredible. So I felt okay, actually. There was nothing, it didn't give me any particular existential trouble or panic. It was obviously something that had to be dealt with, but it was something I felt could be dealt with.
What is your sort of career? Like, what job do you do?
So I work in politics at the moment. That's kind of what I've done all my life. I was big into politics at school, and then I went and did politics degrees, and then after that, I worked in a I worked on behalf of businesses on policy, and I worked with politicians and businesses trying to push legislation in the data and tech sphere forward. And then just recently, I have been involved running campaigns and elections and working for a politician. And I'll stay out of mentioning which party and who I'm campaigning for. But yeah, I'm quite in the thick of it on a day-to-day basis in the political sphere, which is fascinating, but often is quite fast-paced and can be stressful at points, which, as you know, are, well, stress is the key trigger for epilepsy. And luckily, I've been managing okay since I've done that job. But yeah, that's my life at the moment.
How do you sort of manage the sort of stress side, and so it doesn't sort of affect your epilepsy?
Well, I find that it's sort of the subsequent tiredness from having stressful days that is actually the bigger stress point for me. One of the things that we identified as triggering my epilepsy is not having good enough sleep, sorry, good enough quality sleep. And that's not necessarily time, but it's, if it's interrupted or just generally kind of up and down sleep, or a series of long days, long stressful days, with kind of, little bits of sleep in between that aren't quite adequate. That seems to be a trigger for me. So managing stress is quite important in that regard. I suppose a lot of it is just about turning off at the end of the day and trying to clear your mind, I suppose, and be able to sleep. So often just, in my head, I've done a little bit of mindfulness techniques and concentrating on how to get it out of work mode, as it were, whether it's just that kind of breathing exercises or just watching TV is a good way to relax, and sitting on the sofa with my husband and just watching tennis is a good way to unwind. So it's just important that you take those times, because you can just work up until the wire every night and just switch off your laptop and then head to bed. And actually, that's not particularly healthy for anyone in general, actually. So it's something we should all be a bit more conscious of, whether we have epilepsy or not, frankly. So that's the sort of main things I do. And then it's just, you know, you can get wound up in your job, particularly in the career I'm in. You can kind of take everything a bit seriously when actually just on a day-to-day basis, it's obviously really interesting things to be part of, but most often it's not life and death things. So just getting a bit of perspective as well. And that's all ties into the mindfulness side of things too.
Do you feel your epilepsy diagnosis has impacted your life and lifestyle?
Yeah, it definitely has. I am really quite conscious. And in fact, it's interesting. In recent years, the nature of my epilepsy has changed. After our tonic-clonic seizure 2 years ago now, or at least 18 months, it kind of changed the nature of my epilepsy in that I had more focal aware seizures, and I was more affected by lack of sleep. Just in the sort of general functioning on a day-to-day basis. So it does affect me in terms of my anxiety and my awareness of my epilepsy, and anxiety is a big part of it as well, not just for me, but as we know, my family, particularly my husband, who frankly has to deal with it all if I have seizures, it's a sort of very present thing in what we're doing. And you know, if you've been out for drinks with your friends the night before, the next day, as we know, alcohol has an effect on both quality of sleep and an impact on causing epilepsy as well. So you know, it's just the morning after you've had a drink or two, for example, that could be a point of greater consciousness of the potential impacts of epilepsy or having a seizure, or just being generally, I wouldn't say out of it, it's not the word, that's completely not the word, but just slightly less on the ball. Practically, I don't have a driving license at the moment. Thankfully, I live in Edinburgh, in a city where I don't particularly need to drive. But you know, if I was somewhere where I did need to drive, it would be hugely, hugely inconvenient for me. It's now about 2 years, and because I've, as I say, a couple of years ago when I had a major seizure, I've had to adjust the medication that I take, or rather up the dosage of the medication that I take, which is working. But as you know, you kind of have to go through this iterative process, which takes a bit of time. Does impact my day-to-day life. I mean, we can't, my husband doesn't drive either, which means that, you know, if we wanted to go and drive out somewhere for the weekend or whatever, then that would be limited. And public transport, as I say, is luckily very good. But that's certainly an aspect of it.
Do you feel you've faced any barriers or limitations in your career because of your epilepsy?
I don't, actually. I think I've talked about it quite openly anytime I've been for a job interview, and when I've been in the process of being hired or getting the job or setting up myself in an office, or just with colleagues, making them aware of my circumstances. But I've never felt that I've been actively discriminated against in terms of employment. You know, that's one side of it. Of course, there's the stigma and the difficulty just teaching people about epilepsy and their understanding of it, working towards helping them get a bit better understanding. And you know, that's, you can never get inside someone's head, but of course you sort of think that some people might be worried or don't know what epilepsy means, and or don't know whether you are to them, inverted commas, quote unquote normal, as it were. And so I think there's maybe just thoughts that go through people's head that I'm conscious of, or maybe rightly or wrongly I'm conscious of, or at least maybe perhaps imagining people have. But so I don't feel like there's any structural impediments to my employment experience, as it were. But you know, of course, there's these sort of stigma things behind the scenes that do have an effect on how you perceive you are perceived, if you like.
What type of support have you received from your employers? Do they support you in terms of like reasonable adjustments or things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So funnily enough, I'm going through, because I got my job relatively recently, and I'm going through just talking to the HR department, who are discussing what kind of reasonable adjustments I might need. One of them that we've talked about, because I'm quite interested in how we can use technology to monitor epilepsy, whether it be gathering data for research or helping predict seizures. So one of the things that has been developed is an app that can be part of an Apple Watch that would detect when you're having a seizure and be able to text contacts or alert medical services. So that may be something that is provided for me, both our kind of fitness or an Apple Watch or something, and the app that will track that for me, which is quite interesting. I think quite good when, if I'm working alone in the office or at home, then that's something I think would give me a lot of reassurance. Equally, we're in the process of actually getting a new office. So my employer has been just looking at the space. As we know, it's important for someone, if they have a major seizure, to be or have a safe place essentially to have that seizure. So we're sort of checking that if I am at a desk or if I'm in the office, that there is space around me or would be around me or is somewhere close by that it would be safe, as it were, or safe as possible to have a seizure. So absolutely, I feel completely catered. Well, not completely catered for necessarily. I don't think you can ever be completely catered for, but I certainly feel that there is a lot of efforts being made on my behalf, which is really encouraging, actually. I think epilepsy is not as common as a lot of other health conditions, even though it is quite common itself. But so I feel like there is quite a lot of awareness of different types of health conditions that need to be adjusted for, and that's really, really encouraging.
What do you feel employers need to do to sort of better support people with epilepsy?
Well, I think it's all about understanding, isn't it? And I think Epilepsy Scotland does great things in training and organisational awareness. And there is never, you can never do too much to teach yourself about epilepsy and other health conditions and how they affect people on a day-to-day basis and what can be done to support them. So it's just, you need to, employers need to be just proactive about how they look for candidates or look for people to employ with health conditions and understand that it's not a barrier for them to do the work, or understand that health conditions aren't a barrier for them to do the work, excuse me. And it's, as I say, it's all about, talking and just raising awareness, frankly. And of course, using charities and services like Epilepsy Scotland to make themselves aware as well.
Do your sort of colleagues know you have epilepsy, and how did they sort of react when they found out?
Yep, they do. I sort of make a point of telling people whether they like it or not. And I don't feel particularly that there was any resistance. As I say, there was, there's always that second guessing that you do in your own head about people's perceptions. But from what I gather on a face surface level, there was no negative impacts on the part of my colleagues, which is lovely. As I said earlier, it's all about your kind of perceptions of how people how people react to you, and that's as much a part of it as just their instinctive reaction in person to you. And I think it's just important my office is relatively small, so I thought it was important to say that and make them aware and make them aware of what they could do if I had a seizure, just for obviously for my own well-being. That's pretty crucial. So I felt it was necessary to tell them, and that was fine with me and appears to be fine with them.
Advice would you give to anyone with epilepsy who's sort of worried about their career prospects?
I think it depends what kind of employment you're going for, but doing a bit of research yourself about what often on employers' websites they'll tell you what steps they have taken to employ people with health conditions, or to make reasonable adjustments for those that are employed already. So doing that might give you a lot of confidence, because you know that the employer has dealt with this, or at least thought about this, and could go into a job interview or to speak to someone in that place and feel confident about it. There are support services, Epilepsy Scotland, of course, being one that offers counselling and advice, and also can offer training, as I say, to employers, and pointing that out to employers is certainly really helpful to do as well. And if you feel comfortable talking about your epilepsy and making people aware of what they can do about dealing with seizures and people with epilepsy, then it's great if you feel comfortable to tell other people that there is resources, or point people in the direction of resources. I suppose it's difficult depending on what kind of employment you're looking for, and it's always, I think there's always going to be, as I say, this second guessing that is just innately part of when you have epilepsy or any kind of health condition, how you will be perceived. But I think it's encouraging general to see attitudes generally are improving towards people with disabilities, and that, you know, most 9 out of 10 people that you meet on the street or even meet in a job interview will be understanding. And I think we can sort of safely, you can assume the better nature of people, I think. And that's a key step that we have to take, those of us with epilepsy have to take.
That's all we have time for today. A big thank you to Ross and Michael for joining me. For more information about our epilepsy and employment campaign, please go to our website at epilepsyscotland.org.uk or follow us on social media. Thanks for listening and have a great day.